We're always in need of words of exhortation, brothers and sisters, and so it is a call upon Brother Peter to give us.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, we readily acknowledge and appreciate the great love of our Heavenly Father, which He has shown to us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That in all matters related to our salvation in Christ Jesus, the benevolence, the compassion of our Heavenly Father is without limit and without any restriction. And we appreciate that, and we are thankful for it. Yet, we should also appreciate that with this abundant blessing related to our salvation, we should be reminded of the exhortation which the Apostle Paul gave to the Ecclesia at Philippi in terms of working out their own salvation, which we are all doing this day and in our lives, that it is done with fear and trembling. It is determined by our faith in God that we fear and trembling. But he then goes on to say, and it's a neglected part of that reference, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So if we think we are working out our salvation, which we are, it is done according to the scripture by allowing God to work in us to do his will and to do his good pleasure. And that is the only way that we can work out our salvation in the lives that we have. Our Father in heaven is abundant in blessings, and it's part of his nature, as he declared to Moses, for the benefit of other children, when the Lord appeared to Moses and said and described our Father as the Lord God. He is merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. Yes, he is abundant in all aspects to our benefit. And this characteristic of the Almighty is illustrated throughout all books of the scripture. It is there for our benefit, and it's illustrated in many ways and by many examples how the Father knows no limits to the love for us, to the benefit he wishes to bestow upon us, and to the lives that we should lead, God willing, in the future. The only limitation is our effort. And it's usually because of our lack of faith. So our exhortation this morning, my beloved brethren and sisters, is to consider five examples from the scripture in which the abundant provision of the Almighty is illustrated in the provision of food for those in need. And by these, we will bring our thoughts to the emblems before us on this table, to the one who ensured that there is no limitation, there is no restriction on God's part for our benefit and our salvation. For Jesus said of himself, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So I'd like us to open our Bibles, please, to the second book of Kings. Second book of Kings, and we're going in at the fourth chapter, and at the beginning of this chapter, which is the first example of the abundant provision of the Almighty. And at the beginning of this fourth chapter of 2 Kings, it relates to a widow whose husband was a devoted prophet of God, who came to Elisha for one reason, for help. She was in great debt. The creditor was, as it were, at the door, and the creditor had made her aware that if her debt wasn't paid almost immediately, that her two sons would be taken away and would become bondmen. So in verse 2 of this chapter, she, in desperation, in her hopeless state, and the degree of her poverty is expressed toward the end of verse 2. Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Now, none of us can say that, can we? I'm sure if we all went back to the larder, the pantry, whatever it is, it wouldn't be as desperate as this widow. The all she had was a pot of oil. And how blessed we are to be not so situated as her. And in response, we come to verse 3. Elisha requests her to do something, to borrow as many empty vessels from her neighbors as she could. But at the end of verse 3, he tells her, borrow not a few. Borrow not a few. There's no limit from God's perspective, you see. It was as many as she could find and as many as her neighbors would allow her to have. The inference being, of course, that as many vessels as she could find would be filled. So accompanied by her two sons, she goes home. She doesn't question the prophet as to what's going on here, what will happen. She goes back to the house, and in faith, without question, from her own small pot of oil, she begins to fill in as many empty vessels as she had borrowed. And she is told at the end of verse 4, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. I don't know, I don't understand that personally, why she should set aside all the filled ones, as it were. If anybody has an explanation, nobody was counting them, of course. Nobody knew the debt other than she and the Lord, but she was to separate them and separate them to one side. He said eventually, the mother said to the son in verse 6, bring me yet another one, please. And he said to his mother, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. You see, if more vessels had been found or had been borrowed, they too would have been filled according to the debt, there being no restriction or limit on God's part regarding the oil that could have been poured out. The only limitation was on her part in not being able to get more vessels. Obviously, it was enough. There was an abundance of oil, enough to pay her debt and serve her children from bondage. And all this was done by the power of the Almighty, from her own pot of oil, or by her faith and that of her sons in the word of God through Elisha. And by such faith, she was blessed. Now, there are lessons in that story, brothers and sisters, as it's written for our learning. Whatever we have, we can develop. The Lord will come alongside us and help us. And there is no limit to his help. Any failing will be ours, and we know that in our weakness. And so we try our best, don't we, in our journey in life, to proceed in this manner. We're all trying to work out our own salvation. We're all trying with fear and trembling of the Almighty. But are we, as Paul said to the Philippians, allowing God to work in us, both to do his will and of his good pleasure? Our second example is in the same chapter, taken towards the end of this same chapter, and it stands in contrast to the widow. and the faith she had, for it relates to a man who came to Elisha in verse 42 of the same chapter, 2 Kings 4, from Baal Shalish, and he brought food to Elisha, verse 42. It included, and you see it in the verse 42 of this chapter, some bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn in the husk thereof. And when he received it, Elisha instructs the servant of the man who brought the food to feed all the people there present. For Elisha instructed him at the end of verse 42, you notice, give unto the people that they may eat. But unlike the widow, the servant of this man had great doubt that it was possible, that it could be done. He didn't have the slightest amount of faith. He said in verse 43, you must be joking. Are you expecting this to feed 100 men? In his mind, it was impossible. He concluded that there was not enough food here to feed them all. His faith did not extend to this level, even more beyond a grain of mustard seed. And so Elisha, in the middle of verse 43, repeats to the man, go and feed the 100. He said again, give the people that they may eat, for thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and leave thereof. Not only, says the prophet, will you have enough food for 100, but there'll be a lot left over, even though there was one who lacked faith in the word of God. It was done, and they were all fed. So verse 44 tells us, so he set before them the 100, and they did eat, and they left thereof, according to the word of the Lord. You see, the food was not enough for the 100. The man had acknowledged that. But in faith, it was enough. And Elisha would have the man know that with God and with his abundant provision in all these things, everything was possible. Our third example comes from the next chapter, 2 Kings 7, two chapters on. This time it's not relating to three people, the widow and the two sons, nor to the 100 people who were just fed, but this time to the feeding of a whole city after the great famine caused by the siege of Samaria by the Syrians. And in verse 1 of this 7th chapter, at its height of the siege, Elisha says these words, hear ye the word of the Lord, thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. And what Elisha was promising was that within 24 hours there would be 6 times as much good food for 1/5 the price of the most vilest food that they ate during the siege. All within 24 hours. All within a day. Such is the abundant promise and provision of the Almighty. Yet again there was one man, as before, who said, it's not possible. This time it was the king's right-hand man who expressed a total lack of faith in the promise of the prophet that within 24 hours there would be 6 times as much food. Good food at 1/5 the price of the most vilest food they ate before. For he in verse 2 said these words, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? In other words, it won't happen. It cannot happen. It's impossible. And because of his lack of faith, God's response through his prophet was this. And it was immediate because of lack of faith. He says to him, I tell you, you see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat it. Such was the condemnation of the lack of faith of a man in the prophet's promise. Yes, he was to see it with his own eyes, for verse 17 informs us that this was the very man who was appointed by the king to distribute all the food that they'd taken out from the Syrian host, miraculously, and displayed at the city gate. Yes, he saw it all there, all that was gathered, enough to feed this whole city. Yet, he lacked faith. His fate, you see, for lack of faith, although he was responsible for the food, which no doubt he stacked high, he wasn't to eat a single crumb of it, because verse 20 of this chapter tells us that so it fell out unto him that the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died. He saw it, but he didn't eat a crumb of it. You see, so it was by the promise of God that according to the word of the Lord, there was six times as much food, good food, at one-fifth the price of the vilest food they ate before, food in abundance for a whole city according to the word of the Lord. For those who had faith, there was the blessing. For he who had no faith, there was no blessing, there was death. You see, once again, from the Almighty's point of view, there is no limit on the abundant benevolence of the Almighty. And this reminds me of Moses when entering the promised land with the children of Israel, that after God's promises, which were reiterated to him through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they were confirmed to Moses, that this land would be given to their seed, God said to him in Deuteronomy 34, verse 4, I have caused you, Moses, to see it, the land, with thine own eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. Yes, you'll see it, but you will not touch it. You will not taste it. You will not walk upon it because of your lack of faith. You see, likewise is the warning to us, brethren and sisters, each of us, that when Christ returns, that for some there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when we see with our own eyes Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets standing there in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. That's why God has to be worshipped with trembling and fear. We need to move on, or back a few books, to the book of Numbers for our fourth of five examples on the provision of food by the Almighty. Back to Numbers chapter 11. And this involves an even greater number than those who occupied the city of Samaria. And it relates to Moses in the wilderness, who was expected to feed, the record says, 600,000 men plus women and children, who complained about the lack of food, and even Moses himself wondered how all these could be fed and be satisfied. Numbers 11, verse 13. Moses queried, when shall I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. And Moses reasons in verse 22, sarcastically in a way, I suggest, shall all the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them, or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered in one place together to feed them? Verse 23, the Lord responds, is the Lord's hand waxed short? In Isaiah it says that it cannot stay, but here it says, thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. For God had promised Israel, verse 19, you shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but even for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils, though your behavior is loathsome unto me, because you despise the Lord which is among you. Again, you see, in every occasion, as here and the other three examples, there's an abundance of food, even for a multitude exceeding a million. There is no restriction on God's part. Even though they despised the Lord who was among them. No limitation, no restriction. And you know what I'm bringing us in this exhortation, brothers and sisters, when it comes to our salvation in Christ Jesus, there is no limitation or restriction because of what God has provided for us. They were to be fed until it came out of their nostrils. Our final example is in the New Testament, one well known to you. In Matthew 15, it's the feeding, I don't know whether it's the 4,000 or the 5,000. Matthew 15, perhaps it's the one, as I said, is most familiar to you, with you, where we read that a great multitude at the beginning of the chapter came to Jesus, and they comprised the deaf, the maimed, the blind, who were all healed. And we go to verse 33. They'd been with the Lord 3 days, and on the third day, we read verse 33, the disciples would rather send them away, for their reasoning was, when shall we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? You see, again, there was doubt, this time on the part of the Lord's disciples, that so many could be fed with just 7 loaves and a few little fishes. But the Lord has no limit, and by his compassion, which also has no limit, with these 7 loaves and a few fishes, it was possible to feed a great multitude. Verse 37. And they did all eat, and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. No, 7 baskets full. Again, by the blessing of the Almighty, there is an abundance of food, even to feed 4,000 men, women and children, and much left over. And the principle of Scripture is every time the Lord provides food for those with faith or no faith, there is no limit, there is no barrier, there is no boundary, there is no sin which cannot be forgiven in our lives. There is no limit of the compassion of our Father. There is no limit of the abundant blessings that he's able to do. The things that we deem impossible are possible if our faith is strong and our lives are in his hands. You see, the same applies to the salvation and our memory of the Lord Jesus Christ here this day. For the Father has provided for each of us blessings of food in abundance. And it's possible, brethren and sisters, that we don't fully appreciate all that has been done for us. For through our Lord Jesus Christ, we have been provided with the means of deliverance from death by food in abundance from the one who said of himself, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You see, Christ is efficient, self-efficient for us, all our needs. If they are confessed, our sins are all covered. We are reconciled to the Creator of the universe through the Lord Jesus Christ. We can be blessed daily in our lives only if it is God who worketh in you to do of his will and good pleasure. Yes, we do have doubt at times. Our faith varies from strength to weakness. Yes, we are challenged day by day with worries, problems of work, finance, children. And we question ourselves as to whether the blessings of the Almighty are possible for you and me, concluding that because of our lives, because of our failures, because of our inadequacy, that these are barriers and these will prevent the grace of God abounding to each of us. God has not accepted us in us, our purity. God has accepted us in our sinfulness through Christ Jesus. And the grace of God abounds. In essence, we have two choices. Either to be like all those in those examples who questioned whether that seemed impossible was possible, and because of lack of faith said it can't be done. Who said, what, shall I set this before 100 men? It's not on, it's not possible. Shall I have so much bread in the wilderness to feed a multitude? It's not possible. When shall I have flesh to give unto all these people? It's not possible. But in terms of our salvation, brethren and sisters, we might ponder at times at our own position before God and feel that we're inadequate. And say, as the Lord's disciples said in Matthew 19, who then, Lord, can be saved? And the Lord's reply was this: with men it's impossible, but with God it is possible. In fact, all things are possible. But it relates to our faith to walk in the presence of the Father. Or rather, are we to be like the widow, who without question or without doubt was the only person in all of that? Maybe Elisha was too, and Elisha in terms of their promises. Without question or doubt, poured out from her own limited pot of oil with absolute faith in the word of God to save lives. We must continually remember as we come near to the emblems now that in terms of our salvation, that our God, who we and David prayed to, is the same God who was present during all these episodes. It's the same God we talked to in prayer, who provided all of this abundance to all these people, who made the impossible possible. You see, with God there are no limits. Neither is his grace, his compassion, his love, his kindness and benevolence restricted in any way. You remember Hebrews 7? It says, and in fact it says on the road into Cardiff, on the left-hand side it's been there, this notice: Jesus Christ is able to save to the uttermost. Seeing he, Jesus, liveth to make intercession for them. He saves to the uttermost, not 90% or 30% or 60%. Once again, you see, there is no limit or restriction on God's part through his Son for our salvation. Christ didn't half die. He died. He lost life for our benefit. For God would have us all succeed. That's the Father's wish, that we all succeed. For he provides through his Son the forgiveness of our sins, however grave they be. He saves to the uttermost, to our completion, it means, to our completion, that we might be reconciled to our God. The Lord's hand is not shortened, you see, that it cannot save, said Isaiah. Neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. And so we conclude our exhortation this morning, brothers and sisters, as we come to reflect on these things of the Almighty in contrast to our own weak efforts, by thinking about the prayer of the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Ephesians, where he addresses the Father in this way. And on these words I will conclude. It's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do, he does do, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. However, it's according to the power that worketh in us. And if God works in us through his word, then he surely is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think through Christ Jesus. Amen.